I hope all of you at Sacred Heart and St. Anne's and anybody else out there will forgive me today, but I want to focus a little bit on St. Peter, okay? Peter's been a good friend of mine now for about 14 years, and I've grown a lot closer to him during that time. I also stop and think back to, this was also the week when we celebrated the Feast of St. Catherine of Siena, and I got to tell you, what I knew about Catherine of Siena fit in a thimble way back before I became the pastor of St. Catherine of Siena in Piedmont 1,000 years ago. But I will tell you that every time I'm in a church that's named for a particular saint, I just draw closer to them because I listen with different set of ears and see with a different set of eyes. And so this Easter, it's just somehow captivating me a little bit that both last week and this weekend, we're hearing a lot either about Peter or from Peter. Okay? So either from the Acts of the Apostles and the stories about Peter, or from those letters of Peter that we've been listening to for our first and second readings from Acts of the Apostles and from the first letter of Peter. And so I've been looking at Peter and just marveling at how fearless he is in these accounts. Now think back a few weeks when we saw Peter at the time of the crucifixion. Again, saying, oh, Lord, I'll never desert you. I'll be with you through it all. I'll never deny you. And then all of a sudden, out of his fear, watching what was happening to Jesus, he failed him. He failed Jesus. And yet this is the man that Jesus chose to lead the church after he leaves? Huh. There is no mistake in that those early writers of the Gospels knew that everybody who attempted to lead is a flawed human being. There is no doubt. They knew it and they underscored it. If you don't think that Peter and the apostles are complete dolts, just read the Gospel, okay? Because that is one of the points that everyone's trying to make, is that you're not in this church because you're perfect, okay? Nobody is. But what changed with Peter? What made his life so different? Why did he suddenly go from being the one who was cowering and fearful and ducking and covering and lying and doing all those things to being this man who's going to stand up in front of the group that could turn on him any minute? And I don't hear him as scolding in that first reading. I just hear him as just like overcome, like, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe how this came to be. You're not going to believe how it was fulfilled. Here is the life. Come have it. Come take it. And in that reading from the first letter of Peter, when he says, yes, sin and everything scattered the sheep. We all scattered. We all ran away. We all did. But we got forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Why do you think he could preach that message so well? He did it because he'd experienced the risen Christ. And the risen Christ had forgiven him his sins and still loved him despite his mistakes, his limitations. That's why he can stand up in front of that whole crew of people and say, believe in him. It's real. Because he'd experienced it. He'd learned how to look to the shepherd and hear his voice. And especially in that post-resurrection time. And it transformed him. It changed him completely. It's interesting because in the reading from Acts today, there is that little passage where he says repent, but the word is actually from the Greek word for to be changed, metanoia. Okay, and so I don't know that repent does it for me. I mean, the translator just had to pick something, and I know they're a lot smarter than I am, but I want us to think about it in a little bit of a different way. It's not just repenting. It's not just saying, oh, I'm sorry, or I'm going to turn back into it. But it's about changing. It's about being transformed. It's about doing things completely different, being changed from the inside out. And that's what really Peter is saying to everybody. Be changed. You want to know the secret? Be changed. Be changed from the inside out by the risen Christ. And it's going to make all the difference in the world. And doesn't it for us? The way we see the world, the way we hear the world? I think that for us, it's right now partially about taking care of each other. Our Faith in Our Hometown went back on the air this morning. Okay, we finally figured out a way to, you know, record with a split screen and 6 feet apart from each other. Okay, fine. All right. But in there, I was talking to Dan Pekarek, good Catholic man for St. Mary's, who's our health director. And what we were really talking about was, how does the 80% who might not get harmed by this disease, how does that 80% take care of the 20%? That might die? That might get so sick that it gets that bad? How does the 80% take care of the 20%? And that's why we're not selfish. It's not why we're running around, you know, with danger of trying to of infecting each other. We care about that. I'm tired of hearing, I know the economy's bad, but I'm tired of hearing about the economy. I want to take care of everybody. Who wants to volunteer their grandma to be among the 20%? Who wants to volunteer the person with diabetes or heart trouble or whatever to be among the 20%? Who wants to volunteer their child who might just be one of the rare ones who gets the worst case? Who wants to volunteer all that? I'm not fearful ultimately, but isn't one of our marks as Christians in the way that we care for each other? I think we got to think about those things. And I think I know that the bishop and the consultants are thinking about it long and hard because we're trying to strike a balance, and you know, and that's why the news says we're going to figure this out again before the 17th, but we're not going to reopen before the 17th, and we may even push it out further depending on what happens when we start to reopen. And the reason for that is because we kind of want to see what's going to happen, and we don't want to put people in harm's way. I know you want to be here, but how are we going to take care of each other? If we've been transformed by the risen Christ, it's not just about us anymore. It's just not just about me and what I want. It's about how do we care for each other? How do we care for each other? We listen to the voice of the shepherd. Peter heard it. Post-resurrection. It's why he's fearless in our readings today. He's fearless because he has experienced the risen Lord, and he hears that voice in a completely different way than he even heard it when Jesus was preaching and teaching before his crucifixion and resurrection. Our regional deacon, our good deacon, Jim Walter, at the beginning of all this stuff, sent me an interesting quote about shepherding. And it's the best quote I've seen this year when it comes to shepherding, so I'm going to share it with you. I called him this morning to see whether or not he could remember. He said, well, I read it in an article, and I said, I wrote it down, and I said it to you. But he said, I don't know where the attribution is or what it is. So whoever wrote it was brilliant. Okay? I wish I could give him credit for it, but I can't today. He said, and it's also a perfect reading for this morning and today as we're under severe thunderstorm and all that stuff. Wasn't it a weird morning? Woo! But it says, when the lightning flashes and the thunder rolls, the sheep do not look to the sky, but to the shepherd. Peter had no fear of thunder and lightning in his life, because his eyes were fixed securely on the risen Lord, whose voice he heard in forgiveness and call and exhortation and a demand to live out what Jesus had taught us in his life. May it be the same for us. Let's not look to the sky. Let's look to the shepherd and hear his voice, and all will be well.